Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear.
And I'll tell you something else, too, is I cannot stand sissies.
You're going to talk about wrestling, that's redneck talk.
And guess what, Fatso? I'm the world champion.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to When It Was Cool Wrestling. I'm your host, Carl Stern. Thank you very much for joining me. We, in our rotation of classic wrestling shows, we mix things up, make them interesting. That way you don't have to, you know, sit through multiple episodes of a series. Maybe you don't care that much for, so we kind of rotate what we're doing around. And we're back around to the long-form history of wrestling. And in this chronological visitation review of pro wrestling history, we are up to August of 1983. If you're interested in listening to the entire series, which starts way back in the antiquity, I mean, even before the 1800s, but we really pick up the information in the 1800s, we go all the way through the day. I mean, everybody you could think of, if you've ever wondered about the pioneers like William Muldoon and Colonel James H. McLaughlin and people like Farmer Burns and Frank Gotch, and later people like Lou Thesz and Bill Longson and Buddy Rogers and Lou Thesz, Harley Race, on it goes all the way up to today. We'll check out the entire series over at whenitwascool.com. If you go to whenitwascool.com, pull down the podcast tab, you'll see all those shows listed, and I hope you'll dig in and enjoy, download, have a good time. So here we're up to August of 1983, and I now take this from my book, or my brand new book, Dragon King Carl Stern's 1983 Pro Wrestling Omnibus, available at Amazon.com. You can get it as a Kindle book or as a soft cover book if you like, still hang on to physical books. If you're a Patreon supporter at my $10 level, you can get a PDF copy of the book to download. So it's basically the same cost as a Kindle book. So if you'd rather do it that way, maybe you like PDF better since it's so universal a format, well, you can get it there as well. Plus, access to our 2,000, more than 2,000 podcasts dealing with pro wrestling history and retro pop culture. So let's dive into August 1983. As a matter of fact, our Patreons yesterday, every time we do this show, Long Form History of Wrestling, the day before, our Patreons get to hear a review of the Wrestling Observer newsletter from that month. Yes, I have the 1983 issues, and we went through it yesterday. The 1983, Dave Meltzer put out the Observer monthly, not weekly. So we went all the way through it, had a lot of information, and you can get that by becoming a Patreon supporter at whenitwascool.com. Hop on there and download it. All right, let's kick into August 1983. August the 1st, 1983, in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Mid-South Coliseum, drawing 7,000 people, the Giant Rebel, who is Stan Frazier, he'd later be known as Uncle Elmer, beat Sweet Daddy O by way of forfeit. The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, yes, they formed up this year. They're teaming up with the new Fabulous Ones, Eddie Gilbert. No, excuse me, this is, saw Tommy and immediately thought New Fabulous Ones. That's coming up a little bit later. This is the father and son combo of Eddie and Tommy Gilbert. So, eight-man tag team match. They team up to beat my old trainer, my mentor in wrestling, Ken Timms, and Duke Myers, Porkchop Cash, and the Dream Machine, Troy Graham. Buddy Landell beat Steve Osinowski. Mid-America champion Dutch Mantel beat Tom Pritchard. The Moondogs, Rex and Spot, beat Stagger Lee, who is Coco Ware here in this particular iteration. Junkyard Dog have been doing this gimmick down in Mid-South. Stagger Lee and Bobby Eaton. CWA Tag Team Champions are the Assassins, and this would be Don Bass and Roger Smith. They beat Jerry Lawler and Austin Idol in a no disqualification match. The Grapplers are in the area now. Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony under the mask beat the Fabulous Ones, Steve Kern and Stan Lane. And the CWA International Champion Jerry Lawler beat Kim Patera with Lou Thesz as the special referee. Also on August 1st, 1983, in West Palm Beach, Florida, for the Florida Championship Wrestling Promotion, NWA World Champion Harley Race battled Matt Graham to a one-hour draw. And we've been following this along. Harley Race has won the NWA World title for a seventh time. He's going to lose it in the fall at Thanksgiving at Starrcade back to Ric Flair. So we're in this period right now where Harley Race is the NWA champion. Ric Flair is the Missouri state champion, by the way, as well as wrestling full-time for Crockett. August the 2nd, 1983, in Tampa, Florida, the NWA World Champion Harley Race beats Mike Graham by DQ. August the 3rd, 1983, in Miami Beach, Florida, again, Florida Championship Wrestling Convention Center. And again, remember, our criteria for this project is 5,000 or more people in attendance. That's why we don't have the full results for these, because I had to draw a line somewhere, and I drew it at 5,000 or more people in attendance, or something of historical importance, like a world title defense or a title change or a major angle, something like that. In Florida Championship Wrestling, the biggest shows, the only time really they ever drew, other than special shows, over 5,000 people was usually at Miami Beach at the Convention Center. So here they have an attendance of 7,881, which is capacity, for the world champion Harley Race beating Barry Windham by DQ. Tag team match, Dusty Rhodes and Blackjack Mulligan defeated the Zambui Express, Elijah Akeem and Kareem Muhammad, who are Ray Candy and Leroy Brown under a new gimmick. They beat them in a steel cage match. Junkyard Dog, yes, Junkyard Dog's in town here in Florida. He beats Ron Bass. Angelo Mosca defeated the Purple Haze, who's Mark Lewin. Mil Máscaras is in for a special appearance, defeated the Masked Texan, Joe LaDuke. And I think the Masked Texan, wasn't that Dory Funk Jr.? I don't have it here in my book, but I think that's Dory Funk Jr. doing that gimmick. Joe LaDuke beat Scott McGee. Mike Graham defeated Ox Baker. And Charlie Cook battled Les Thornton to a draw. August the 4th, 1983, in Jacksonville, Florida, the NWA champion Harley Race battled Dusty Rhodes to a double DQ. Also on August 4th, we go over to Japan. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Sumo Hall. They draw 13,000. Shunji Koshugi beat Nobuhiko Takada. Of course, Nobuhiko Takada is going to go on to become a big deal, huge, huge drawing guy in this sort of pseudo-shoot fighting stuff. Original Pride star, by the way, Nobuhiko Takada. Yoshiaki Fujiwara and Makoto Arakawa beat Hiroko Egan and Yoke Paulson. And I don't know who Yoke Paulson is. I'm assuming that's some sort of sumo wrestler turned pro or something. I'm not sure who that is. Kuniaki Kobayashi beat the Black Cat. That's Manuel Victor Marr. Kentaro Hoshino and Osamu Kido beat Pete Roberts and David Finley from England. Paul Orndorff's on tour over there. He beat Ruma Go. Kingo Kimura beat Brian Blair. Sigi Sakaguchi and Akira Maeda beat Dick Murdoch and Adrian Adonis by DQ. Rusher Kimura pinned Animal Hamaguchi in a death match, a rare gimmick match there from New Japan. NWA World Junior Heavyweight Champion Tiger Mask, and this is the original, Satoru Sayama, pinned Isamu Teranishi. Tatsumi Fujinami beat Riki Choshu by countout to win the WWF International title. Yes, they actually had that belt for a little bit over there. August 5th, 1983, this would have been my 12th birthday. Would have turned 12 years old on this day. What happened on my 12th birthday? Oh, Carl's 12th birthday. Well, in St. Louis, Missouri, the NWA World Champion Harley Race defeated the Missouri champion Ric Flair in a best 2 out of 3 falls match. And over in Richmond, Virginia, at the Coliseum, Rufus R. Jones celebrated my birthday by beating Dory Funk Jr. to win the Mid-Atlantic title. Big win there for Rufus R. Freight Train Jones. August the 7th, 1983, in Toronto, Canada, at the Maple Leaf Gardens. And remember, Frank Tunney had passed away earlier in this year, so Jack Tunney's now running this company. They are aligned at this point in time with the Crockett promotion, if I remember correctly. They swap back and forth with Crockett and WWF. And right in this time period, it's close to when they're doing the exchange, but I think they're still with Crockett at this point. A tournament was held for the Canadian TV Championship, which Mike Rotundo won, defeating Magic Dragon, Sergeant Jacques Goulet, and Don Kernodle. August the 8th, 1983, at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee. They've dropped below 5,000 in attendance, but we got a title change here. Jerry Lawler and Austin Idol beat the Assassins for the CWA World Tag Team title. Some belts they came up with there in to kind of promote their own world champions. They did this periodically in Memphis. Also on August the 8th, 1983, so this will be a Monday night, in Birmingham, Alabama, for Southeastern Championship Wrestling, Ricky Gibson, the brother of Robert Gibson, beat Chick Donovan for the NWA U.S. Junior title. The Midnight Express, who in this incarnation are Norvell Austin, Randy Rose, and Dennis Condrey, but here it's Norvell Austin, Randy Rose. They defeat Ken Lucas and Eddie Hogan. Yeah, Eddie Hogan was Brutus Beefcake. Ed Leslie. They were the Southeastern Tag Team Champions, and the Midnight Express get those belts back here on the show. Buck Robley defeated the Midnight Stallion, who was a masked Mongolian stomper, basically doing the Dusty Rhodes Midnight Rider gimmick up here. But Buck Robley beats him in a loser-leave-town match in the main event, where the loser of the fall must leave town. Ron Fuller and Jimmy Golden defeated Bob Armstrong in the Flame. Flame, of course, was the assassin Joe Hamilton, forcing the Flame to leave town. And here I have one of my Dragon King Carl notes, which I included in the book. 1983 was a very important year for the Midnight Express. At the beginning of 1983, the Midnight Express was a three-man Fabulous Freebird-style unit consisting of Dennis Condrey, Randy Rose, and Norvell Austin in Southeastern Championship Wrestling, competing in tag team matches where any two of the three could defend the NWA Southeastern Tag Team titles. One by one, members began leaving the territory to go to Jerry Jarrett's Memphis promotion. First, Dennis Condrey, then Norvell Austin, who actually run over someone with his car and left the area fearing prosecution, or so says Ron Starr in his biography. Then later, Randy Rose. As each member left, they were replaced by new Midnight Express personnel. Eventually, the Midnight Express was wrestling in both Memphis and Southeastern with different members. In Memphis, it was Dennis Condrey and Norvell Austin. And in Southeastern, it was Randy Rose, Ron Starr, and Wayne Ferris, the future Honky Tonk Man. Then Randy Rose left, leaving Starr and Ferris as the Midnight Express, and then they eventually disbanded. The Memphis Midnight Express slowly just fell apart. Later in 1983, as part of a talent swap with Bill Watts' Mid-South Company, Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton, along with manager Jim Cornette, went, and Watts put them together as a tag team managed by Jim Cornette using the Midnight Express name. This version of the Midnight Express became one of the most popular versions, with successful stints in Mid-South, World Class, and eventually Jim Crockett Promotions. Dennis Condrey would then leave Crockett unannounced, and would be replaced by Stan Lane, who had been part of the Fabulous Ones tag team. Dennis Condrey would reunite with Randy Rose in 1988 as the original Midnight Express in the AWA, and win the AWA World Tag Team titles. Norvell Austin never again was part of a Midnight Express tag team. So see, it's bits like that you could get if you get my Dragon King Carl Stern's 1983 Pro Wrestling Omnibus from Amazon. I've got lots of those notes in there. August the 12th, 1983, AWA is in Denver, Colorado. I don't have an attendance, but AWA was always drawing quite a bit of people, and usually over 10,000 in Denver. David Schultz beat Buck Zumhoff. Rick Martel beat Mr. Saito by DQ. Jim Brunzel beat Sheik Adnan LKC. AWA World Champion Nick Botwinkle beat Brad Reagans. Kim Patera and Jerry Blackwell beat Mad Dog Vachon and Baron Von Raschke. August the 13th, 1983, WWF is in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at the Spectrum. The attendance was 14,008, and this was televised on the Prism Cable Network. Pete Sanchez defeated Israel Matea. Tito Santana pinned Mr. Fuji. Big John Studd beat Chief J. Strongbow. Jimmy Snuka defeated WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco by countout, and Swede Hansen was the guest referee. And remember, we've already talked about in this series and in my book, Jimmy Snuka, this is the year all sorts of legal issues for Jimmy Snuka. The death of Nancy Argentina. There was some arrest prior to that for some incidents. So Jimmy Snuka is, you know, he's being pushed as a top star, but he ain't getting the Intercontinental title. He ain't getting pushed to the main event right now. They're doing damage control with Jimmy Snuka at this point in time. because it was out there a little bit. People knew a little bit of this story even back then. Tiger Chung Lee defeated Tony Garea by count out. The WWF World Tag Team Champions, Wild Samoans, Afonseca, defeated Rocky Johnson and Salvatore Bellomo. Pat Patterson beat the Iron Mike Sharp. I think I said the Iron Mike Sharp, like he's the Iron Sheik. But Pat Patterson beat Iron Mike Sharp. WWF champion Bob Backlund beat Sergeant Slaughter by count out. The Invaders, Jose Gonzalez and Johnny Rivera here in the WWF, defeated Ivan Koloff and Don Kernodle. Ivan Putski defeated George the Animal Steele. So I said earlier that Toronto was working with, seemed to be working with Crockett. No, they were actually working with WWF at this point because Slaughter and Kernodle are already in WWF at this point. I'm doing so many projects at once, like I'm working on the 1984-1985 book now, and all this is running together in my head. So I'm having, bear with me as I'm trying to unscramble my brain from all this mid-1980s awesome wrestling stuff. August the 14th, 1983, Georgia Championship Wrestling at the Omni in Atlanta. Buzz Sawyer beats Dick Slater by DQ. Pez Watley defeated Great Kabuki. The NWA World Tag Team Champions Jack and Jerry Briscoe beat the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal. In a handcuff match, Tommy Rich beat Bill Irwin. Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker battled Larry Zbyszko to a double DQ. Bruno Sammartino Jr., who's David, of course, defeated Bob Roop. Down for Florida Wrestling in Orlando, Florida, the NWA World Champion is still down there. Harley Race beat Dusty Rhodes. And to wrap up the first half of the month, August the 15th, 1983, we go back to Memphis, Tennessee, Mid-South Coliseum. They're back over 5,000 again, so there's 6,900 people here. Dream Machine, Troy Graham, and Porkchop Cash team up with the Galaxian One, who's Ken Wayne, and the Prince of Darkness. I don't know who that was. They went to a draw with Tom Pritchard, the Jaguar, who is Danny Davis, the oftentimes Nightmare slash Galaxians. Ken Wayne and Danny Davis are feuding at this point. They also in the match were Tommy and Eddie Gilbert, so that match went to a draw, a big eight-man tag team match. Adrian Street beat Don Anderson. U.S. Junior Heavyweight Champion Tommy Rogers beat Frankie Lane. Now, the U.S. Junior title was actually a belt for Ron Fuller's Southeastern Wrestling. But occasionally Memphis would use Ron Fuller's Southeastern belt, like he'd bring it up. And then sometimes they would just have their own U.S. Junior champion, whoever it was. And I think this is one of these times that they were doing that. Buddy Landell beat Dutch Mantel to win the Mid-America title. Bobby Eaton and Stagger Lee, Coco Ware, and Terry Taylor beat the Moondogs, Rex and Spot, and their manager Jimmy Hart in a six-man match. Steve Kern beat Jerry Crusher Blackwell. The Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson beat the Southern Tag Team Champions, the Grapplers, Lynn Denton and Tony Anthony by DQ. Ken Patera beat Jerry Lawler to win the CWA International title. And remember, we've got multiple tag team belts here. Memphis did this a lot. They had, you know, whatever the Southern Tag Team titles were. Sometimes they had the International Tag Team titles. Well, now they've got the Southern Tag Team titles and the CWA World Tag Team titles, which we talked about, the Assassins, Don Bass, Roger Smith. They beat Jerry Lawler and Austin Idol to win back the CWA World Tag Team titles. Also on the same date, August 15th, 1983, down in Southeastern, Mr. Olympia, Jerry Stubbs, is back in the area, and he beats Man Mountain Harris. Later, he's going to be known as Black Bart to win the Alabama title in Birmingham. Now, Mr. Olympia's turning heel. In fact, I think he is heel at this point because it was an angle with Black Bart, who again, was Man Mountain Harris in this area. Man Mountain Harris was doing the dumb simpleton mountain man gimmick, and Mr. Olympia was taking advantage of him, and so he's basically lures him into this match to beat him, and it all results in Mr. Olympia turning heel ultimately. In West Palm Beach, Florida, at the Auditorium, NWA World Champion Harley Race defeated Dusty Rhodes by DQ. All right, so we're going to take a mid-show break, come back, talk about the second half of August 1983 right after this.
Excuse me, please. Let's don't talk negatively. Speaking of winners, surprise, surprise, whenitwascool.com is your home for retro pop culture articles and podcasts. To all our patron supporters, this is for you, Fannie Mae. Solid gold just like you and me. Family friendly and fun, whenitwascool.com.
All right, we're back for the second half of the show here. August 16th, 1983, Dusty Rhodes defeated the NWA World Champion Harley Race by DQ in Tampa, Florida. August the 17th, 1983, in Sunrise, Florida, the NWA World Heavyweight Champion Harley Race beat Mike Graham. The tour continues on the 18th in Jacksonville, Florida. Harley Race beats Dusty Rhodes. August the 20th, 1983, in Sarasota, Florida, at Robarts Arena, Harley Race beats Barry Windham by DQ. Now, also on August 20th, 1983, in San Antonio, Texas, we've been talking about Adrian Adonis in this faux world heavyweight championship he's won down there in a tournament. Nobody cares about this belt. It's a knockoff version of the NWA domed globe title. It even looks like the NWA belt. We've talked for weeks now, or months here in this time, as I go through the observers, that is a forgotten story in history. There was a group of wrestling promoters that was trying to break out of the NWA and form their own deal, and Georgia Championship Wrestling was one of them. Southwestern was one. ICW with the Poffos, I think. Larry Madisick up in Missouri. So there was these groups who were working together, and it looked like they were going to be recognizing Adrian Adonis as world champion. But here's the thing. Southwestern Wrestling, Joe Blanchard's promotion, was having a lot of financial problems. A lot of these groups were. This never materialized, never turned into anything. I think it's interesting, Georgia Championship Wrestling never announced or didn't announce for weeks that Harley Race had won the NWA World title. And we're now a few months after that's happened. Georgia Championship Wrestling is just now getting around to announcing Harley Race won it. So they were up to something. And Dave speculates a lot about this in the Observer at the time. But, again, it never went anywhere, and people have kind of forgot about it. But here in San Antonio, Dick Murdoch beats Adrian Adonis to win that, quote, undisputed world title belt. But I guess it's in dispute because even after winning it, the belt's held up. Then it was later announced that Scott Casey had won a Phantom match in St. Louis over Dick Murdoch for the title. And it wasn't. So soon thereafter, they just dropped it altogether, just gave up even trying. August 21st, 1983, the annual NWA convention is held in Las Vegas, Nevada at the Dunes Hotel. That's where all the NWA members got together hobnobbing. That's probably, honestly, where they put a stop to all this. They were like, hey, look, the NWA will protect your territory, will help you out, will trade wrestlers with you. We can't officially say this because we once got investigated by the Justice Department, but we'll blackball anybody that don't work with us. But you guys have got to quit. You guys have got to quit. You got Georgia, you got to announce Harley Race as the world champion. Guys, get together and work this crap out. And I guess they did, and it's timed with Southwest World Championship magically just evaporating into the ether. August 24th, 1983, the Philadelphia Arena, which hosted many WWF shows over the years, was destroyed by fire. Yes, it burned down. August 25th, 1983, Stampede Wrestling in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. We don't often talk about Stampede because they seldom drew over 5,000 people or so, just, you know, when they have a title change or a big angle or something. But here they have 9,000 people in attendance. Andre the Giant won a battle royal, so there's your big draw. And here's another one of them, the world champions in town. Not Harley Race, but the AWA world champion, Nick Bockwinkel, beats David Schultz by blood stoppage. Dynamite Kid defeated Gama Singh. Bret Hart defeated the Mongolian Stomper by DQ. You know, Mongolian Stomper's been down in Alabama as the Midnight Stallion, but now he's lost another loser leave town match and gets run out of the area. And he never goes back. I mean, that's the end of Mongolian Stomper, Archie Goldie, in Southeastern. And he never worked for Continental up until, I think it was actually Ron Fuller's USA Wrestling before he finally came back. I don't think he ever came back to the Southeastern or Continental proper. The Cobra, George Takano, and Hiro Saito beat Bruce Hart and Davey Boy Smith. Keith Hart beat Scott Ferris. Jim Neidhart and Mr. Hito defeated the Cuban Assassin and Ciclone Negro. Coconut Willie defeated Wolfman Kevin. What a name, Wolfman Kevin. August 26, 1983, Hacksaw Duggan defeats Ted DiBiase in a steel cage loser leave town match in Houston, Texas. In St. Louis, Missouri, Hulk Hogan beats Crusher Blackwell by countout. Dick the Bruiser battled the Super Destroyer, who was Scott Irwin. We talked about Bill Irwin earlier, Scott Irwin here, to a no contest. David Von Erich and Jerry Lawler. Yeah, Jerry Lawler over here in St. Louis. Beat the Blackjacks, Blackjack Mulligan, Blackjack Lanza. Barry Windham from down in Florida is up here in St. Louis getting a look. And, you know, you worked St. Louis because they thought you had potential. So Barry Windham's in here. He beats Baron Von Raschke. So you got Barry Windham and David Von Erich both, you know, being eyeballed as future possible world champions on the same card here. Roger Kirby beat Jerry Ho, who was substituting for Dusty Rhodes. I don't know why Dusty didn't make it in. Bob Orton Jr. defeated George Wells. Ron Ritchie and Mark Romero defeated Sheik Abdullah and Buck Robley. Also on August 26th, WWF's in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania at the Civic Center. 14,000 people. Bill Dixon beat Jimmy Jackson. Johnny DeFazio, who worked a lot of these Pittsburgh cards, pinned Tony Altimore. Salvatore Bellomo pinned Butcher Vachon. The WWF Intercontinental Champion, Don Morocco, beat Jimmy Snuka by countout. Rocky Johnson pinned Iron Mike Sharp. Ivan Putski beat Ivan Koloff in the Battle of the Ivans. Andre the Giant beat Big John Studd in a steel cage match with Swede Hansen as the guest referee. August 27, 1983, this is our big Madison Square Garden show here in New York. And I want to remind you, I do a series called The History of Pro Wrestling at Madison Square Garden. It's in this rotation of shows. And if you're looking to listen to all those I've done so far, if you go to whenitwascool.com, go to your genre-specific podcast tab there and look, and that's the quickest way you can find the shows I've done on Madison Square Garden so far. But here in 83, we have The Invader 2, who's Johnny Rivera. Now, The Invader 2 in WWF was different than The Invader 2 in Puerto Rico. Invader 2 in Puerto Rico was Roberto Soto. So you had, and Johnny Rivera ends up being like Invader 3 in Puerto Rico, so it's kind of confusing. But anyway, Johnny Rivera, Invader whatever, beats Don Kernodle. Iron Mike Sharp beats Swede Hansen. Chief J. Strongbow beat Butcher Vachon. Ivan Koloff battled Salvatore Bellomo to a time limit draw. Tiger Chung Lee defeated Tony Garea. Andre the Giant, Rocky Johnson, Ivan Putski, and Tito Santana beat Big John Studd, Sergeant Slaughter, and the Wild Samoans, who are Sika and Samula at this point. Yes, Samu. WWF Intercontinental Champion Don Morocco beat Jimmy Snuka by countout. And in your world title match, it only went 39 seconds, but WWF Champion Bob Backlund beat George the Animal Steele. August 28, 1983, Junkyard Dog and Steve Williams defeat King Kong Bundy and Ted DiBiase in a loser leave town match in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Also on the 28th of August, Georgia Championship Wrestling, the Omni in Atlanta. Buzz Sawyer beats Dick Slater by DQ. Pez Watley defeated Great Kabuki. The NWA World Tag Team Champions, Jack and Jerry Briscoe, beat the Road Warriors, Hawk and Animal, in a Texas Tornado tag team match. Tommy Rich beat Bill Irwin in a handcuff match. Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, battled Larry Zbyszko to a double DQ. Bruno Sammartino Jr., again, that's David, beat Bob Roop. Paul Ellering beat Bruno Sammartino Jr., so he's doing double duty there. And Mr. Wrestling Tim Woods defeated Joe Lightfoot. Also on the 28th, AWA is in St. Paul, Minnesota. Baron Von Raschke beats Chris Markoff. David Schultz beats Buck Zumhoff. Jim Brunzel beat Bill White. Kim Patera and Jerry Blackwell beat Dino Bravo and Steve O. AWA World Champion Nick Bockwinkel beat Wahoo McDaniel. And Hulk Hogan beat Mr. Saito by DQ. August 29th, in Memphis, Tennessee, at the Mid-South Coliseum, drawing 7,743, so they're just over half a house here. The Jaguar, Danny Davis, beat Bruise Brother 1. Spike Huber went to a draw with Bruise Brother 2. Dennis Condrey, formerly of the Midnight Express, he's migrated up here to Memphis now, beat Don Anderson. Tom Pritchard beat the Prince of Darkness by DQ. Coco Ware, now just being plain old Coco Ware, I guess, beat Buddy Landell to win the Mid-America title. The Moondogs, Rex and Spot, beat Terry Taylor and Bobby Eaton in a bone-on-a-pole match. And then in a six-man tag team match, Jerry Lawler, Austin Idol, and Jimmy Valiant beat the Assassins, Don Bass, Roger Smith, and their partner, Ken Patera, in a no DQ match. Finally, our last date in August of 1983, WWF champion Bob Backlund appears on a Florida wrestling card in Miami, losing to Ron Bass by DQ. At the Irish McNeil's Boys Club in Shreveport, Louisiana on Mid-South Television, Hacksaw Duggan defeated Ted DiBiase in a no-DQ loser-leave-town match. On the same TV tapings, the Road Warriors make their Mid-South debut, losing to Jim Duggan and Magnum TA by DQ, and also on the same tapings defeat Art Cruz and Rick Rude in another match. All Japan Pro Wrestling on the last day of August 1983. In Tokyo, Japan, it's the Terry Funk retirement show. Spoiler alert, Terry Funk does not retire. Like ever. I don't think he ever did. Terry Funk's not in the best health anymore these days, but nothing would surprise me if he came out for one more match. Who knows with Terry Funk? It was at Sumo Hall, drew 12,000 people. I love Terry Funk, man. NWA International Junior Champion Chavo Guerrero beat Masanobu Fuchi. Jumbo Tsuruta beat Bruiser Brody by countout to win the NWA International title. Terry and Dory Funk Jr. beat Stan Hansen and Terry Gordy. And in a Dragon King Carl note, I love Terry Funk. He is absolutely one of my favorite wrestlers ever. Now, mind you, he retired more times than Frank Gotch, and he didn't retire here either. Still, this show was a huge success for All Japan. Terry Funk would go on wrestling for many more years, a tremendous run for WCW in 1989, and then famously recreating himself as the hardcore legend in the 1990s for the Japanese hardcore promotions and participating in death matches, and then with Extreme Championship Wrestling, ECW. So August 1983, a packed month, a lot going on. Can't wait to get to September. If you want to jump ahead, well, then I encourage you to buy my book at Amazon.com, Dragon King Carl Stearns 1983, Pro Wrestling Omnibus. For a little while, it was the number one new book in yearbooks and almanacs. So let's try to bump that back up there again. So I hope you'll check that out. And again, if you become a Patreon supporter over at When It Was Cool, come in at the $10 level for like a month. You can grab the book as a PDF and, get all of our podcasts to boot over there. Come in at the $5 level, well, you're going to have instant access to over 2,000 podcasts dealing with retro pop culture, pro wrestling history, and much, much more. Come on in. The water's fine. Can't wait to see you over here. And again, yesterday we went through the August 1983 Wrestling Observer newsletter. So if you're interested in what Dave was saying back then, come on by and pick it up. Well, thank you so much for listening. I'll see you here again soon with another show. Hey, everybody. Carl here from whenitwascool.com. I've talked to you a lot about our Patreon, which is the most important way you can support us. But let me remind you of what else we do. You can follow us on social media on both Facebook and Twitter. Grab the links off the front page of whenitwascool.com. Check out all of our free podcasts on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, and other major podcast outlets. Check out Dragon King Dark, along with Stuck in the Desert Podcast, Uphill Both Ways, Wrestling with the Dog, The Thrash Metal Show, Life and Times with KZ, our new show, The Plot, Dragon King Carl Classic Wrestling Audio Show, Fireside Chat, and Heel Mustache Podcast, plus many specials every month. Go to whenitwascool.com for everything retro pop culture and more. Hit that Patreon link for premium podcast content. If you're looking for something fresh and fun to listen to, then bookmark whenitwascool.com.